This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
And joining us right now is Michael Sean Duggar, Seahawks PI beat covers for the PI.com, and of course also has the Man-to-Man podcast, Seahawks Man-to-Man podcast. And so, Michael Sean, are you enjoying this offseason so far?
Well, yeah. Now that they stopped firing coaches, Cam stopped with the cryptic Instagram posts, so I could get some sleep. Yeah,
I know. That makes it a little bit better.
I'm having a good time now.
It's been pretty crazy, and that's one thing for sure.
I told my executive producer when the season ended, I didn't get to cover the playoffs, but I'll get to cover a pretty interesting offseason. I told him that right before New Year's, and I was pretty right.
No, you were right about that. I mean, what was your... Now, of course, yesterday was decision day number one for Cam Chancellor, and no surprise knowing the ramifications of the cap that they allowed his salary to be guaranteed, so he's taken care of in that regard. But I guess now it's a waiting game. I mean, this may go all the way to the summer when he goes on the PUP list. I don't see anything happening real quickly in this one.
Yeah, that's the same thing. I mean, sitting there figuring out what can happen with Cam and the money here, if they cut him here, if he retires here, that's this offseason in itself. That was almost eaten in like an Excel spreadsheet to like map out what happens with Cam depending on, you know, what he does. That was exhausting. But you're right, I'm with you. I don't really think they'll do anything because it just benefits, I won't say both parties, but it kind of does for the Seahawks. If Cam just at least tries to come back, stays on the roster, goes all through the necessary rehab, gets on a schedule at least to come back. Like, hey, let's get him running by this date, doing this by this date, you know. At least try those things, even if in the back of his mind he's like, man, I don't know if I'll be back out there. You know, just that seems like the best you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours scenario for both parties, at least I think, after crunching all those numbers and reading over everything.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was complicated because of what you have 2 years of injury guarantees at $12 million, and, you know, if he retires, then he would have to pay back X amount of dollars, which you know he doesn't want to do, and so the best thing for both sides is just to sit.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I would think he'd want to do is give back some money. I mean, one of the first things he did when the offseason ended, I saw Cam was in Italy, and I think now he's in New York for Fashion Week. Doesn't sound like a dude who wants to give back money.
Oh, no.
He's enjoying spending the money.
He's in New York for Fashion Week? What's he doing on that one?
I rolled over to an email like 8 in the morning from someone who they said he was there as his publicist. I don't know. A picture of Cam on a runway in some really tight pants. So I know he's in New York. I don't know if he was on the runway, but it looks like he's having a good time with his offseason.
Wow, interesting stuff. And, of course, yesterday, you know, maybe the three other players were able to do it. It looks like Justin Britt's going to, you know, stay on the long-term deal. No surprise there. But at some point here, we're going to start getting some moves that are, you know, be, you know, dynamic as far as what's going to happen with this team. Early thoughts on the Earl Thomas situation?
I thought the Earl Thomas stuff was weird. Just everything he's kind of just been saying until I went back. And I think it was either June or August, the first time he spoke after his retirement comments, where he's just like, hey, what influenced you to come back? And he's like, oh, well, you know, it says a bunch of things. One of them was like, yeah, I saw Eric Berry get paid. Can't get enough of that. And then just kind of kept rolling through some other stuff. And I almost want to say everyone missed that. But that's, like, real important. If we're talking about why you come back to continue to do your job, one of the first things you say is, hey, man, somebody else get some big money. I want some big money too. That's essentially what he said. He's like, I want to get paid too. So I mean, he's been saying it for months. I guess the only weird thing is the Dallas part going into the locker room. But like everything else that he says about, you know, wanting to get paid, he knows he's hot, he's balling. You know, I mean, he is. Just made the Pro Bowl again. Had another really good year. Now, in terms of how that works with the team chemistry, I think Earl has got to the point where, you know, there's like that code when guys say how they describe someone else when they know they're not really going to change that dude. That's like, they usually say that's so-and-so being so-and-so. You know, that usually means, you know, even if we tried, it just doesn't work. You know, because I get the feeling when, even if they go do talk to Earl, like after what he said at the Pro Bowl about the holdout, I bet you whoever tried to explain to him why that was a bad thing to say got nowhere.
Right.
But they're like, Earl, you can't say that. And Earl's probably like, what do you mean? What'd I say? And, you know, and they probably just got their head and walked off. Because at this point, I don't think they can control what Earl says. They just need to listen to the important part of what Earl says is, I love Seattle. I want to be here. I just want to get paid. Which, from Earl's point of view, isn't that crazy. I like it here. I want to play here. Pay me. It's pretty simple when you have a good year and you're one of the best at your position.
Mm-hmm. What do you think they do? Do you think, I mean, obviously, I don't think they're going to give him a contract extension immediately. I think it's going to be a wait and see type of thing. Do you think he holds out first off?
I think they'll wait, but I think at the end of the day, put it this way. I anticipate him getting paid, I think, in the summer, just because it just makes the most sense, unless you just nail the draft or free agency. That's where I think, like you said, they're going to wait and see. I think that's what they're waiting for. If you're going to extend Earl, it'll probably because you got through free agency, it didn't get what you want. You got through the draft and didn't get who you wanted. And you're like, well, we have Earl. Earl's not old. Earl's still Earl. But if they get towards draft time and or get through free agency, get who they want, get a plan together. Like maybe you put two plans together. Here's the we pay Earl plan, and here's all the things underneath it that would have to happen, or the we trade Earl, and here's all the things that would have to happen. I think it's probably more likely just because of how talented Earl is and all the good things that need to happen for you to feel comfortable trading him. I think it's more likely that he eventually gets paid. And then when he do, that's going to be the money he wants, I believe. I don't know if it'll be Eric Berry type. I think he got a longer deal than Seattle. What, Eric got 6 years?
Yeah, 6 years, 78, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be 6 years. But I think probably the per year average will probably be around where he likes. That's my...
Because I think he's more for the average, and I think as a competitor, he wants to try to top Eric Berry. And if that means that, you're going to have to probably pay $13 to $14 million, and that's going to be an imposition. But again, he is worth it as he's the best. Or if he's not the best, he's one of the best.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, that's why if you simplify it to that, it's just, okay, I'm not old. Yeah, I had an injury. Then I came back and made the Pro Bowl and was one vote away from being first-team All-Pro. I'm not old. I just, you saw what happened the couple of games you didn't have me in 2016. You saw what happens when you didn't have me in 2017. Pay me. I'm really good. If you say you're committed to making the right moves to make a championship, obviously I'm part of it. Earl should pay me to do his negotiations. It seemed like it would...
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
It'd be pretty simple. I'll take like 5%. I don't even need the 10 or whatever they give the guys now. It's something small to get me a new car.
Yeah, a lot of them getting less than 5. It's usually now 3. So you're kind of asking a little bit too much than some guys are getting. So that's how much it's changed over the years.
No wonder they go for the 6-year deals.
That's it, yeah, because you want that security. All right, so now thoughts on Richard Sherman.
I think the injury made things more complicated than we wanted to think at first. Obviously, it's just like, oh, well, I won't pay him coming off the Achilles. But now it's like, oh, well, you saw what happened when they tried to trade a hurt guy in Jeremy Lane. It's like, well, now you have to play the rehab out if you want to, you know, move Sherman because you just got to see how that Achilles is. Who's going to give up, a second and a fifth? I don't know what you get for Richard at this point. But yeah, who's going to give that up for a guy who just, the reason you don't want him is the reason the way we want to take him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that makes sense. Like, okay, how's his Achilles? You know, is that worth giving up these picks to get him? I think with that, I think that should be like in the, somewhere like, not in the same chart as the Earl situation, but you should just have those on the same, you know, notepad where it's like, okay, if we're going to keep our big name guys together, then that'll include seeing how Sherman comes back, seeing what he looks like in OTAs, seeing what he looks like minicamp. Like I think that's more likely that he stays on, and depending on how he looks, probably I'd say he gets paid too. I would like to think so, but I'm not nearly as confident about that as I am with Earl, just because of the Achilles and just guys want corners.
Mm-hmm,
it seems
mm-hmm.
like all it takes is one team to just say, hey, we'll give you such and such and such and such. We'll take a chance and Seattle pulls that trigger. I know Richard said he's ahead of schedule and things like that, but then he said he's acting as his own agent. I would have said that too.
right.
I would have said my heel's fine. If I'm my own agent, I'd have got up there and said, yeah, I can play right now.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the case. So when a guy is representing himself, you got to take everything with a grain of salt. But I would think that they keep him intact just because I really do think that they're all in on a push to win right now. And that's would you do that with a secondary that doesn't have Earl, maybe has Byron Maxwell or Shedd and Shaq Griffin and Bradley McDougal? I don't know. See how you run those names off, and they don't sound as good as Earl Sherms, because they're not. So that's tough. That's why I think if they're all in on that push, then they'd keep Richard Sherman.
Right. All right. So now the one I think is going to be really interesting, along with some of the others, but certainly what's going on with Sheldon Richardson. I thought he played well. Thought he did a lot of good things. He's going to be expensive to re-sign. I mean, do you think they sign him, let him go, or franchise him?
I went through the franchise scenario this week, and that just seems too expensive for what it would be worth. It was like $14 million.
Yeah.
I somewhere around there. Like that just doesn't seem worth it. Seems like they have, and not in a year where they have so many other tough decisions to make. Even if they've already decided, oh, we'll let Jimmy Graham walk, there's just some other key pieces that you got to figure in. So the reason I feel like they're going to keep Sheldon is just he's, you know, if you talk to these guys, John,
yeah,
and they're just like, oh, you know, I know it's a business. I'm just, you know, control what I control, things like that. You talk to Sheldon multiple occasions, like, yeah, I'll be back. I feel like I'm going to be back. Talk to them. Confident I'll be back. I think I've gotten that at least two or three times from Sheldon, just that confidence. Talk to the team, he'll be back. Whereas, like, contrast that with someone like Bradley McDougal, who's just like, I want to, but, you know, that's up to them. Or, you know, guys like Mike Davis or Thomas Rawls, or even Michael Bennett, you know, just like, oh, I want to be back, but that's up to them. Whereas Sheldon, like, hey, you think you're back? Like, yeah. For a while? Yeah. Well, he knows something I don't from talking to the team. That's what makes me feel like they'll probably even lock him up long term, but it probably won't be as high, I want to say, the dollar amount wise, as people would think for like a DT who can rush off the edge too. But I think it'll be one of those like, oh wow, they did a good job on that deal to keep that player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I mean, I thought that 14 in some ways could be a little bit of a bargain. Now, I don't know if he's got the clout to be able to pull a $15-16 million deal, because, you know, not having the sacks to go along with him is going to be a little bit of a problem. But I think that he can definitely get a very good contract. But again, it's like, you know, franchising him gives him the option, if let's say they can't get a deal done, that at least you can get some trade value for him.
Oh yeah, yeah, there's that option too. Yeah, if you,
I just don't think they can afford to lose the asset that he is. Because again,
yeah, that's
it's like
the thing, and it's Sheldon's an interesting one, because like the theme this year, like if you're pretending to rebuild the Seahawks on the outside, you're like, oh well, they want to get really, you know, they want to get younger and better, which I see some flaws in that logic, but if you're going that way, fine. Sheldon's not 35.
No.
So if you're going to get younger and better, this is one of those guys you would do, especially if you're on the side of saying they should, they're going to lose Cliff and they're going to get rid of Michael Bennett. Well, you need some defensive lineman, and a 26 or 27-year-old like Sheldon, who's got some talent, is one of those guys you would have to theoretically keep around to build this younger and better roster that you want to build.
Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, I think that he's a very valuable guy. What changes do you see then happening?
I can do all of them, but let me see. I think keep Earl, keep Sherman, probably let all the running backs walk. Who's a free agent in the secondary? Probably cut Lane. Probably
yeah, Lane's gone,
walk,
obviously. Yeah.
Unless he's going to sign for cheap. Yeah, Lane didn't help himself. I mean, they already tried to get rid of him once. I mean, there's probably no better sign that a team is going to get rid of you in the offseason if they tried to get rid of you already during the season.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's not just the writing on the wall. That's the writing to your hand. Like, here, man, you're gone. So let's say Jeremy, Jeremy probably gone. And I really don't think Cliff and Cam will play again. I just think financially they probably won't cut Michael Bennett because they saved like $2 million. I mean, $2 million is not, you know, chicken scratch, but I mean, salary cap, it's not like a huge number for a guy who gave you 8.5 sacks with a bum knee and a bad foot. Let's see. I think they keep Bradley McDougal. I mean, they made the big changes already on the coaching side of it, where I think the talent was really still there. You know, I think, you know, Jimmy, let Jimmy go, probably keep Paul Richardson, probably bring back Sheldon. I think it'll be some change, but I don't think it'll be just the Seahawks, you know, just go Cleveland Cavaliers on us and just dump everyone. I think when you have a roster like this that does have more talent on it than a lot of other rosters, at the end of the day, it's probably more beneficial, especially when we don't know what they – like, it was real clear with their rookie class who kind of had the immediate talent. Like, Shaq clearly had it. Nas clearly had it. Like, okay, we know these guys are probably going to be pretty good. You know, like, otherwise, it's like, okay, what are we having? Delano, Tedrick, Amara, other kid's name, David Moore, you know, they don't know. So how confident are you going with those guys if you really are trying to win a championship? So I think there'll be some changes, but yeah, I don't think it's full Cavaliers. I'm thinking they keep the big names, and the biggest name you probably don't see back is just Jimmy Graham.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, some people are trying to justify that Graham can be back, but I see there's no way possible. Although I think that he may not be able to pull the $10+ million contract in free agency. I'm thinking it's going to be more in that $7 million range. But here's one of the kind of shaky up. What's your thoughts about Graham going to Green Bay?
I think anyone who catches passes going to Aaron Rodgers is just it's perfect. Almost, well, yeah. I guess maybe if you wanted to go play with Tom Brady, but it's, yeah, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, when he gets to, when he wants you to get the ball, he'll get it to you. Even
right.
If it's just, you know, he's made some guys look good who haven't really looked good elsewhere. You know, like,
I think it'd be a great fit.
I think, with Jimmy, it's almost like, as long as the quarterback is competent, is it a bad fit, really? I mean, this year, ERG wasn't even really a great fit. They just couldn't run the ball they couldn't run the ball, and it wasn't a good run blocker. They got in the goal line, couldn't run the ball. The only thing they could do was, you know, throw it to the 6'7" guy. Like, I guess that's a good fit. I mean, that would be good for Jimmy. At this point, Seattle's like, they you lost on that trade, I think. So if you would rather him, I would think, not walk to someone you may have to see in the mm-hmm. postseason. But at this point, that'd be a good fit for Jimmy, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good, and it'd certainly be a good fit, I think, for Aaron Rodgers, because I think he would really like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would like 6'7" Jimmy Graham. I mean, like, the numbers, a lot of his numbers wasn't there, but I mean, 10 touchdowns is 10 touchdowns. You
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
when you end the league, when you end the year and you say, you know who caught more touchdowns than me? One guy.
Yeah,
DeAndre Hopkins. If that's your bargaining chip, man, that's a big chip, man. That's a black chip at the high roller table in Vegas, man. That's a big chip that you can use. That I like, hey, man. Even in a year that you guys don't think I was that good, I caught this many touchdowns. I'm valuable somewhere. Let's do this.
So, what do you got on the podcast?
We're trying to do. We're trying out more shows this week to TBD. Trying to work out some technical stuff to get some guests on. I may even need you on there, John.
Just give a holla.
We get through the off season with some guests. We're trying to do I think we should have a new show this Monday or Tuesday, the Seahawks Man to Man podcast over on catch it on iTunes on seattlepi.com. It's always there. And then for those of you in the Twitterverse, it's always the top of my profile on my Twitter at Mike Dugar. Just come check us out. It's a fun time.
Okay, that'll be great. Hey, Michael, Sean, thanks for joining us.
Always. Thank you, John. You have a good one.
All right, sounds good. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Load up the phone lines. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Commando Dave. David, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. What's up, John Clayton?
How's it going?
Man, now that football season is over, croquet season can't start, but right out of the chute, John Clayton, I, too, wanted to congratulate you on the Keith Jackson Award. How fitting that the same week the Philadelphia Eagles won Super Bowl 52, you are forever linked to their tight end, taken in the first round of the 88 draft, and went on to be a three-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler, and Super Bowl champ with the Packers, who also beat New England.
I tell you what, it was a great, great night. I really enjoyed it.
You listen to what I'm saying, John Clayton. That was the I just compared you to the Philadelphia's tight end, and they went.
Yeah,
right.
I just don't want to wear the. As long as it's not the center with the leprechaun outfit.
Okay. God, hey, look, awesome. Man. On the real tip, jokes aside, let me give a shout out to the memory and legacy of Keith Jackson, who we unfortunately lost just 29 days ago. One of the great voices in sports and gentlemen of the game, and to be linked with that Keith Jackson, John Clayton, is right up there next to the Dick McCann Award and further cements your legacy as one of the great commentators. Actually, John Clayton, one of the great communicators, as the award is for excellence in communicating sports stories in Washington State, which is why the John Clayton Show has been on the air for two decades. And we all love how you keep it real, keep it plain, and keep it informative, John Clayton.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. Congratulations. And of course, there's a commemorative banner on johnclaytondammit.com that links to the story on Seahawks.com. And speaking of Seattle sports stars, John Clayton, was there a bigger sports star in the room that night than you?
Yeah. I mean, Brock Hewitt was there. Let's see. The fact that, Richard Sherman presented me, I think he kind of topped it. I mean, he was there.
Look, man, that was
Slick Watts was there.
That was another trick question, John Clayton, just to hear you humbly maneuver out of it. And from trick questions to trick plays, John Clayton, moving to Super Bowl 52, let me give a quick shout-out to the Philadelphia Eagles and the biggest Eagles fan in Seattle, Kevin Shockey, for not only becoming champs, but beating the Patriot Act to do it and keeping the Lombardi Trophy in the Bird family for the Seahawks to pick up next year. And, John Clayton, in my estimation, that game was close for only two reasons. One, on the opening drive, the Eagles turned a first and goal at the two into a second and third and goal from the seven thanks to a false start. And instead of just running the ball in from the two with LeGarrette Blount, they threw two incomplete passes from the seven, had to settle for a field goal. And two, late in the second quarter, was a great drive going. First and 10 at the New England 43, Nick Foles threw another pretty ball, maybe the prettiest all day, a pass that Alshon Jeffries shoulda, coulda, woulda made into one of those one-handed grabs that everyone makes, and the Eagles would have the ball first and goal at the five-yard line. Instead, Jeffries inextricably misses the catch with his right hand, tips the ball to the Patriot Act with his left hand for an interception, and instead of being in position to make the score 22-6, that pick turned into a touchdown for the Patriot Act and, completing a 14-point swing. But, look, the adage, defense wins championships, Professor, could not have been more evident, because if the Eagles don't make that defensive play at the timeliest time they did, we all know how dreadfully painful that game ends for everyone but New England. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed, yeah. But I just think that Doug Peterson out-coached.
No kidding.
I mean, really out-coached Bill Belichick in many, many ways.
Yeah, I do too. I couldn't agree with you anymore on that. Look, I'm going to say this lastly. The one thing I enjoyed absolutely the most about Super Bowl 52 is that it was serious football with no silly Camp Seymour choreographed stupid end zone celebrations, just straight power spikes by LeGarrette Blount, James White and the Gronk. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. No, it was great. It was just very so enjoyable to watch.
Yeah, like you said earlier, man, from the opening drive to the last pass, that was just another great Super Bowl that we had a chance to watch as football fans. So a nice bow on the end of the 2017 NFL season. To that, go Mariners as much as you can. I know you said earlier that the pitchers and catchers reporting is sweet sounds to your ears, but I know that Mariner fans who've been counting the seasons in between playoff appearances, those wars aren't all that sweet, you know what I'm saying?
No, that's true. It's been such a long time, but hey, the Bills got their playoff after waiting since 99. The Mariners now since 01. Maybe it's time.
That's a good way of putting it. Talk to you later, John Clayton.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Russ in Linwood. Hey, Russ.
Hey, JC, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. What's going on in Chi-Town?
Pretty quiet right now. I mean, you know, they've taken, I think they're trying to make a decision on the offensive line, whether they want to try to pick up an option on Joel Sitton. They're trying to make a decision there. And clearly they're trying to explore what the heck they're going to try to do with the wide receiver position, because that's something that has just been an absolute mess for this team.
Who's the, who's the offensive coordinator? He's from Oregon, I understand.
Yeah, the Oregon, Mark Helflick, the former coach, but he's not going to be calling plays. I'm sure it's going to be Matt Nagy, because that's why they hired him. They hired him for his play calling.
Okay. But nothing are shaking otherwise?
No, they've been pretty quiet. I mean, they're just settling in, getting the new coaching staff together, trying to make sure that they have an idea what they're doing. So that seems to be most of the plans right now. But, yeah, it's been very quiet. You know, there's not a lot to do as far as roster-wise right now. But, again, they got to try to make sure that they know what they want. I mean,
right.
What's the right moves?
Okay, JC, thank you.
All right, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Jet. Jet, how are you?
Dr. John, how you doing?
Good
to have
back.
You back.
It is good to be back.
Hey, first things first, congratulations on the good news at home. Wishing Miss C a happy recovery. I hope everything's well there. We're all very relieved. The flight crew here at the hangar is very relieved, and we've had the vigil going for you guys, so congratulations on that. And then second, congratulations on your big night and your big award winning on the Keith Jackson Award.
Boy, that, again, it really surprised me, and just what a great night it was, what a great honor it is.
Well, nobody's more deserving, I think, than you in that regard, so I'm glad you had your moment in the sun, and hope you enjoyed it, and it's long overdue, and bottom line, take that, ESPN.
There you go.
Hey, also, I caught you a couple of times on Sirius with Pat Kerwin this week.
Yes.
And that was I didn't have that much time to listen to it, but, you know, you guys are my two favorite commentators on the NFL, and it's always great when you two are going at it.
Mm-hmm. No, we love it. I mean, again, I'm the main fill-in on the show. Jim Miller took 3 days off, and had an absolute blast doing it, and we'll be doing it a whole bunch more here coming up.
Well, I hope Kerwin will continue to rub off on you, and you won't be the Jet hater that you've been for these low many years.
Remember, he used to work for the Jets.
I know. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping he'll give you some more favorable and positive vibes about the Jets here in the future.
Yeah, are there any?
John, the Jets.
Remember, you're the guy that was rooting for the losses last year.
You betcha. And they just didn't quite get far enough. You know, I mean, they got too cute, and that game was Kansas City. It cost them, and they're going to pay the price, you know, because they're in no man's land again this year.
Where do you stand on the idea of going for Kirk Cousins?
No. You know, all I can see, John, I'm having flashbacks to Neil O'Donnell. I think Cousins perhaps is a little better than O'Donnell, but of course a different ballgame now too. But I just don't see it. I don't think you should tie up that much that team, the Jets, where they're currently at, should not tie up that many resources into one individual, because they just have too much. They're not knocking on anybody's door. If they were knocking on a door, then I'd say, yeah, maybe, okay, go for it. But they're not. They still have so many more holes to fill and develop that I just don't think they're close enough to justify the expense. What I'd really like to see them do, I would like to see them, you know, venture into free agency. What I'm intrigued about, and I don't know what you think about this, but I was kind of hoping to talk about or lambaste the hoodie here today, but we got plenty of time to talk about the Jets. But I was kind of hoping to throw this out there, that they'd show interest in Teddy Bridgewater. I don't know where his knee is at, but he's certainly going to be ahead of anybody that they draft. And he's only, 25 years old. Mm-hmm. So he's, you know, still got plenty of growth left, plenty of time left. And, you know, he's a guy that potentially you can grow around. And then if you still, you know, maybe then, you know, bring back McNown as well. But I think, geez, for a month you're going to pay those two guys. You're not going to lock up any long-term money in McNown. Then, you know, that's pretty much almost what you're going to pay, probably less than what you're going to pay for Kirk Cousins.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a bargain as far as what the what that
and
price is going to be.
That still leaves you the option if you want, depending on, again, what falls to you at six, or if you can execute some sort of deal that's reasonable to move up, which I highly doubt because I think, you know, that both the Browns and the Colts picks are going to be, you know, highly sought after with a lot of teams with much more draft capital than the Jets are going to have, or the Jets probably should spend. But you never know. Maybe somebody will fall to them at six, and you pick up another quarterback at six, you know, but you don't have to. In other words, you don't have to force your hand or overpay for anything. If something comes to you, you're fine. But if it doesn't, well, you set yourself up. So that's why I'm kind of intrigued by the whole Teddy Bridgewater issue. I don't know what you think about that.
I think it's too much of a, because again, it's like, don't you think they've taken enough gambles? It's Bryce Petty, Christian Hackenberg. I mean, it's like, can they go for something that they know as opposed to something that they don't know? That's where I think that they get themselves in trouble now.
Well, you know,
because again, it's like, okay, that's fine. Maybe you can hit on it, but what if it doesn't work?
Well, you know, if you take it, okay, say you go through the draft and you draft any one of these quarterbacks. I mean, you're taking it's a crapshoot for those guys too. You know, I don't care if it's, you know, Darnold or Rosen or Allen or any of these other guys. I mean, they're all crapshoots.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go through the draft or whatever, I mean, you're still, you know, taking a gamble. I don't know. I'm just not really that sold on Kirk Cousins, to be honest with you. I think that's part of the problem.
You sound like the Redskins.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I can see, for example, you know, taking a chance on Jimmy Garoppolo, for example, because he's younger. He got more time. He's polished. And I think he's part of a puzzle for the San Francisco 49ers going forward. And he fits into the time span. But, you know, Cousins is 30 right now. You know, by the time the Jets really materialize into much of anything, if they're going to, you know, you're still a couple years away, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a quick turnaround with that team. And, you know, at that point, he's, like, 32 years old. But also, you're just locking yourself into such a huge contract for a team that's just not ready to go over the edge yet. I'm uncomfortable with that, John.
That sounds like it. Sounds like it. I just take the tact that's like, okay, they need a quarterback, and they can get a quarterback. All you have to do is pay him. Why not try to do it?
Yeah, but also, if I'm Kirk Cousins, do I really want to go to the Jets?
Well, you want to go someplace.
Maybe going to Denver or...
You know he's not going to go to Cleveland.
Places.
Why would he go to... I mean, you'd rather go to the Jets than Cleveland.
Well, okay, that's one. Cross that one off the board.
Denver would be one, but again, if Denver gives him a lower offer...
Well, if I was him, I'd rather go to Denver. I mean, that
team. Oh, yeah, no question. But again, what if the Jets are offering more than Denver?
Well, I guess it depends on how much and how much is guaranteed and, you know, the fine line of that. But, you know, I there's just too many intangibles with the Jets. Who's the offensive coordinator? What's their offense going to look like? Mm-hmm. I mean, they have so many holes still to fill on offense. You know, I mean, what's your running game look like? What's your offensive line going to look like?
Right.
You know, who are your receivers going to be? You know, what's going on with Anderson?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have a deep threat?
How about the fact they found out he had 10 arrests?
Oh, geez, I saw that. What a hat rack.
I know.
He picked up two in the same day.
I know.
I mean, what is up with this kid?
He's a mess.
You know, and you know, the franchise must know about it. I mean, can't they just, you know, hire somebody to shadow him and sit on him?
He's probably driving too fast. I don't think anybody can keep up with him.
Except for the cops.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're the only ones. But let me digress for a second and just throw some shade at the Patriots here. It was just good to see that Belichick finally got out-coached in a Super Bowl compared to the clown shows we saw the past 2 years with the Seahawks and blowing that game and basically the Falcons blowing their game. It was nice to see Peterson do a number on Belichick,
mm-hmm.
and Belichick basically outsmarting himself. But the thing, I think the coup de grace of the week for me was McDaniel pulling a Belichick, taking one out of his New York Jet playbook, and just dumping all over the Colts.
Right.
I mean, here's a guy that didn't have the best of track records coming out of Denver, and he pulls this nonsense on the Colts. Yeah, good luck, unless it's going to be in New England. Good luck in the future there, buddy.
Oh, what a joke that was. I mean,
just classless.
Yeah.
But it's typical, you know, Belichick coaching tree.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the hoodie did it not once but twice to the Jets. It's from the playbook. And it's just got Kraft's fingerprints all over it.
No doubt.
You know, and did you see the two Bills?
Not yet, no.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks or so when you get a chance to watch it. That was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, well, as a Jet fan, you just want to punch Bob Kraft in the nose.
Right.
But be it as it may.
You can have him go with Putin and have him take the Super Bowl ring.
What's that?
You can have him with Putin and have him take the Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, Jet, thank you for the phone call.
Well, take care, John, and I'm just glad that good things have been turning your way here the past few weeks, and it's just great to have you back. We, you just know what you got when it's gone, and you are Seattle's true superhero, and you're just extremely appreciated here in the area, so just keep bringing it. We really miss you and need
you.
Hey,
thank you so much.
Take care, buddy.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mark in Auburn. Hey, Mark.
Hey, John. I want to talk about something that's near and dear to your heart, and I'm looking at the Seattle Seahawks offensive line for the
right.
last 3 years. As you know, it's been an absolute debacle,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't seem like the responsibility is going where it needs to go. I mean, all the way from Paul Allen down to Pete Carroll, John Schneider. I'm looking at the articles this week about how little we allocated to the offensive line.
See, I disagree. I mean, they've invested an entire draft. A first-round pick, a couple second-round picks, third-round picks. They've gone and made a trade. I mean, if you look at all the resources there, they have a $9.75 million left tackle, a $9 million center. You know, it doesn't look like money, but now it is money, and it's also draft choices.
But, I mean, the situation, what I read in the ESPN report that came out, the seven reasons why the Seahawks have not gotten back to the Super Bowl, I'm sure you saw the article, they stated in that article that the Seahawks allocated the least amount to the offensive line, according to that ESPN article from this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm basing it off of. And I'm just looking at the incredible situation we've had in Seattle since our second Super Bowl appearance, that we cannot, I mean, I don't know what the answers are. I looked at the Super Bowl this year. There was not a single holding call during the entire game, which is incredible. Both offensive lines protected their quarterbacks in an amazing fashion. I don't know if the refs kind of held off because it was a Super Bowl and didn't want to have a bunch of penalties. It seems that way. But it was incredible to watch the way. I mean, the Patriots don't have an incredible line, but they did an incredible job.
Mm-hmm.
And the Phillies have a great line. And I'm just looking at this and just going, what is going on with Seattle? And that has to be our number one priority.
But as far as doing what? I mean, either, because again, if you keep doing this, then the rest of the team, as you're starting to see, starting to fall off. I mean, they've invested draft choices, first, third, seconds, trades, all that stuff. Some point, you just got to, you know, develop the guys. That's why I think that they decided it was time to make a change with Tom Cable.
Yeah, I just don't see, I mean, ever since we gave away our center and got Graham, it's been downhill since then.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't disagree with that. But remember, it's like it's not as if they haven't invested. I mean, with Jermaine Ifedi being a first-round pick, if he doesn't work out, was that an investment or wasn't an investment? Maybe it was a wrong investment. You know, the trade for Dwayne Brown. You know, having second-round picks in Ethan Posick and Justin Britt and all that. They have been active in trying to fix it. It may not have gone the way that they would like, but that's what they've tried.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I mean, I know you're very smart and all these things. I just feel like I'm tired of watching the Red Sea open mm-hmm. every single time, you know, that Russell takes a snap. I mean, he's running for his life. We all know that. And it's just not fair to him. It's not fair to his longevity. And I just feel like a lot of plays are not materializing because it's just literally chaotic every time the snap happens.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem. I agree. But again, it's like you have to try to at some point just say, okay, we got to get this thing right and make sure that the players develop.
But why aren't we going – I know we went after in free agency this year, but, I mean, if we're not developing them in the draft or whatnot, we're going to have to allocate more money in order to bring them in.
But remember, you got to start getting younger and you got to start getting compensatory picks, all those different things. It's you can't buy your way out of this. Cannot do it. You've either got to develop and strategically get better. Simple as that.
Well, thanks, John. I appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
Our thanks to Matt Nelson for producing and running this show. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John, another great show.
Thank you.
Hey, a couple quick ones. Actually, I don't know if you're a religious person. I'm not much of a one, but when Greg and Ballard was calling in, man, I was praying for his cell phone to break out.
I know. How about that?
Yeah. I don't know what I mean, trying to drive into a ditch. But besides the point, what if the offers for Kirk Cousins aren't there that around 20 or around $30 million? Because from all what I hear and what I see, I believe he's a better quarterback than Garoppolo. Maybe his ceiling's not as high. But I don't see anyone who really wants to offer up $30 million.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, but no offers have come out yet, obviously, because it's too early in the process. But I'd have to think that, he's going to be, I think he's going to get paid.
Yeah, well, no, definitely going to get paid, because I see Denver, the Jets, and the Browns, you know, shooting for him. But I don't, you know, like the Bills, I don't think we'll go that direction. Like you said, Jacksonville, and I think like 26 might, or maybe 28 would be the ceiling for him.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. I mean, I still think Denver's the best spot for him. I think that's the one that works the best.
Yeah. Hey, and then one last thing. With Denver at 5, say if they do get a quarterback, who's the best player at number 5 that they could pick? Would it be defensive cornerback or would it be offensive line? You take care, John. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Probably cornerback. I mean, you know, probably more defense than offense. That'll start sorting itself out in a couple weeks when we go to the combine. Let's go to Trey in Maple Valley. Hey, Trey.
Hey, John, congratulations on one of Keith Jackson's best sayings. Whoa, Nelly!
Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
It should have said that on the trophy you got. Whoa, Nelly!
I think it might have.
Hey, John, here. You know I'm a Bears fan.
Right.
And I'm okay with that. Everything, I'm more satisfied with them since the Lovey firing, so I'm in wait and see mode with them. But my second favorite team, the Seahawks. Here's my assessment: watching Russell Wilson play at a really high level the past couple years, and I don't see it talked about that much. And this is just my assessment based on watching quarterbacks and seeing where Russell Wilson is. I think he's one of the best, definitely top five in the NFL right now, and for the next 3 or 4 years can play at that level. If the Seahawks were to guarantee or be close to basically 160 to 200 yards a game, it doesn't matter. I think they can play. They could be in a playoff basically almost every year with that. And they can trade Thomas. They can even trade Sherman. They can go young on defense, find the next Legion of Boom, trade all those guys. But with Russell Wilson, with a running game that can average 160 yards a game, do you think that can be the solution? Because if you have him have Russell with a running game, I just don't see Seattle being ever out of it.
I got to run here, but no, they've got to try to get the running game, not lose too much on defense, keep their defense in the point where they're giving up 18 points a game. If Russell gets a running game, he'll get 24, then things bounce back. Hey, thanks, everybody. We'll be back at 10 o'clock on Monday, and, of course, back in next Saturday at 9. It's John Clayton.